Let's start this morning by reading you a quote I read earlier this week. It's from a Christian author called Max Lucado. This is what it says. When you're in the final days of your life, what will you want? Will you hug that college degree in the walnut frame? Will you ask to be carried to the garage so you can sit in your car? Will you find comfort in rereading your financial statement? Of course not. What will matter then will be people. And if relationships will matter most then, shouldn't they matter most now? Over the last few weeks in this church, we've been thinking about some of the key themes that run through the Bible. And one of those themes is the theme of relationships. And in particular, the relationship that we have or that we can have with God. If you had to think of a word or an image that summed up the kind of relationship you have with God, what would it be? Would you choose the word parent or friend, lover, guru, bully, king, a heavenly version of Father Christmas, or a figure that's too distant to identify? The images that we have of God will be shaped by the experiences that we've had in life. Sometimes they can be very positive and helpful images, and at other times they can be less helpful pictures. I wonder, who is God to you? For the next few minutes, I want to offer you two images that come from the Bible that describe our relationship with God, and I want to explore the difference between them because they're telling us two things that are both the same and are different as well. To help us understand the relationship that we have with God, the Bible tells us about the special relationship that God had with one particular group of people, and that group of people was the Israelites. God's relationship with the Israelites started in the Old Testament with the figure of Abraham. God made Abraham an incredible promise. He promised Abraham that he would bless him. He would give him a family more numerous than the stars in the sky, which was some promise, seeing as Abraham was old and childless, that he would give him a land that family could call home, and that through his family, all the people on earth would be blessed. Abraham, understandably, accepted God's generous offer, and so they made an agreement, what the Bible calls a covenant, that God would keep his promise, and that Abraham's family would belong to God's family. It all sounds so simple and straightforward, but it wasn't. God kept his side of the promise. He did bless Abraham's family, but Abraham's family couldn't or wouldn't keep their side of the promise. The Old Testament says that it was like a broken marriage. That's the image that the Old Testament uses. A couple of months ago, a Canadian website hit the news headlines. The website was called Ashley Madison, and their tagline was this: life is short, have an affair. It's an online dating service. I think it's closed down now, but plenty of others exist. It's an online dating service aimed at people who are married to enable them to be able to commit adultery. It hit the headlines because computer hackers stole their customer data and then they released that information online, so they exposed the people who were using their service. How would you feel if you discovered that your partner or spouse or somebody that you love was using that website? How would you feel if their name had come out? And what would you do? That, says the Old Testament, that's what the relationship was like between God and his people. God, in this instance, was like the faithful husband, and his people, the Israelites, were like an adulterous wife. They wanted all the benefits of the special relationship. They wanted God to bless them, but they didn't want to be tied down. They didn't want to be committed to God. They wanted their freedom. And what did God do when he realized his people were unfaithful? He did something stupid. He kept loving them. He kept taking them back, and in doing so, it broke God's heart. A lot of people find the Old Testament difficult, and maybe one of the reasons that it's difficult is because it's the story of a broken relationship. As you read the Old Testament, you see the consequences of that broken relationship, the mess, the mistakes, the pain, the recriminations, the loss. And maybe we are missing the point of the Old Testament. Because maybe what God wants us to grasp through that story, through the story of the Israelites, is that he loves us and that he will never stop loving us and he will never leave us, whatever we do. By the time we reach the New Testament, we're given a new image of the relationship God has with us, a new picture. And this time, the picture is of adoption. I used to work with a young man called Simon, and Simon was very open about the fact that he'd been adopted. And he told me how he came to be part of his family. I think it must have been the 1970s, and his parents had been approved for adoption, and they began visiting various foster homes and children's homes to go and meet prospective children that they might welcome into their family. They walked into one particular home, and Simon, then just about 3 or 4 months old, was lying on the sofa, and apparently his dad entered the room, took one look at him and said, That's my son. Simon hadn't done anything to impress his dad. He couldn't speak. He couldn't make a convincing argument. He wasn't even in control of his own faculties, his own bowels, for goodness sake. There was nothing he could do to convince his dad he was worth choosing. But his dad looked at him and knew that Simon was his child. The New Testament tells us that we are adopted into God's family, that God chooses us as his daughters. You are my daughter. And God chooses us as his sons. You are my son. Not because of anything we can do or say, but because it is the Father's will, because God loves us and he wants to be close to us. But with those two pictures, the one of the broken marriage, the other of the adopted child, how do we go from one to the other? How do we bridge that broken relationship to one that's been restored? And the answer the Bible gives us is that it's through Jesus. In the Old Testament, God made the relationship with his people, but it didn't work. It kept breaking down. So in the New Testament, God made the relationship with Jesus. And he invited us to share in that relationship. It's a bit like this. My friend Olivia is a member of the Tate. She's very posh, don't you know? That means she gets free entry to all of the exhibitions that they put on. And on several occasions, she has invited me to go with her because I can also get in for free on her ticket. I don't have to pay a membership subscription. I can go through her on her ticket. It's the same with Jesus. We can be adopted into God's family through Jesus. We are on his ticket. We don't have to pay the membership subscription. We go free with him, which means we get to share his sonship. You may already know this, but the word testament, as in Old Testament and New Testament, means covenant, agreement, promise. We have the old covenant and the new covenant, the old relationship and the new relationship. And the New Testament tells the story of a relationship that has been made new. And unlike the Old Testament, this is a relationship that can never be broken because it's not based on us or our performance. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. It doesn't matter how many times we do or don't come to church. God will never stop loving us. God will never leave us because we are on the same ticket as Jesus. God promised Abraham that he would bless him, and he did. That all people on earth would be blessed through him. And he fulfilled that promise. The promise was the gift of Jesus, one of Abraham's descendants. As I think about the relationships that I've got in my life, I feel very blessed. I am grateful for my family and my friends, for this congregation, for the people that I've worked with, past and present. But the greatest blessing of all is the relationship I have with God through Jesus. For me, there is true freedom in knowing that I am loved by him, not dependent on my performance, but loved as his daughter. That, for me, is the place of true freedom. And God invites each one of us to be part of his family, and all we have to do is accept. Amen.